You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
So episode 259 of the IT and the D Show, we have no Bob, we have no Nuri. We've got Randy in studio with us running the Twitters and assuming Bob duties.
Tonight. I'm in the Bob seat. I'm ruining your ass groove, Bob.
And we have Richard Van Staten in studio. Should be a really good episode. So yeah, stay tuned. WGU is an online university that's changing lives by changing higher education. WGU is affordable and offers degrees in business, IT, and healthcare. Their innovative learning model is designed to fit the lives of busy adults. And let's be honest, we all know how that goes. Many industry certifications are included in their IT degree programs at no extra cost. If you already have certifications, they transfer so you can finish faster. WGU graduates work in positions of responsibility for leading companies like Microsoft and Apple. Here's what you do. Get your $65 application fee waived at wgu.edu/IT in the D. That's wgu.edu/IT in the D.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt. That's Gary. You're Bob and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hey, Dad, how this is Pinky the genius, the real genius behind Pinky and the Brain. And when we take over the world, the only show that people will be able to listen to is IT in the D with Bob, Dave, and Yuri.
No!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my boo-boos.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly. Come on.
Someone cry. To hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier from X-Men Evolution. Storm! Storm! Come here, Storm. Sit on my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
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 Nerds! What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerd.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hi, it's Julia Montgomery from Revenge of the Nerds. I listen to IT and D, and I'm in love with a nerd.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT and the D.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snooch to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Oh!
Hello, smart people. Yakko Warner here, and the only show we listen to in the water tower is Bob, Dave, and Nuri at IT and the D. Good night, everybody!
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed!
Sir, had you better buckle up?
Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
All right, so let's try to start this smoothly.
Sure, go ahead.
Episode 259 of the IT and the D Show with no Bob and Nuri. So winging it, I think we've already proved that we'd need them here. But it's a thing. I know, Randy, we've got tomorrow is the big election day.
Yes.
And you want people to vote early they can come to the event.
Yeah, vote in the morning so you can come to the IT and the D networking event tomorrow afternoon, 5 p.m. at Pretzel Bell. We'll be downstairs in the basement. I don't know why the hostess doesn't always know that, but we'll be at the basement. So just go right downstairs, grab a drink at the bar, and talk tech with us.
Cool. And we just had free podcast day here at Podcast Detroit. Had a bunch of shows that came in and tried out the studios, so that's always a good thing. And apparently a bunch are already ready to fire up and do their thing. Always a good thing. So I guess where do we start? Which story do you want to hit first?
Apple hit a $1 trillion market cap.
They did. Is it because of all the dongle sales?
Surprisingly, their $1,000 cell phone is doing very well.
Go figure.
So I guess people are not afraid to chip out that much money for a smartphone.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
It's
my mic's not even on.
Yeah, it is.
Is it? I didn't think the iPhone X did that well, actually. But then all of a sudden it didn't.
Yeah, in their earnings report, they said iPhone 8 Plus and 10 are 54% of their revenue or something like that. It's kind of slow out of the gate, impressive. After that, $150 million loan they got from Microsoft back in the late 90s? And now they're keeping Microsoft alive.
Well, and then locally, and good for Doug and these guys, Duo Security is getting bought by Cisco for $2.35 billion with a B dollars.
Congrats.
Cash. No stock, no anything. Cash.
Yeah, my office is right next door to Duo, so we were all excited. We know a lot of people over there, so we were kind of giddy when it was announced. We were excited for them.
Just waiting for invitations to the parties.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. If you guys are listening, head on next door to Nokia. We want some bubbly or something. But hopefully this works a little better. I guess Cisco is doing better in security these days, but some of their earlier purchases, like the flip cameras, remember the portable cameras?
Right.
That Cisco bought right when the iPhone video started getting super popular, or what was it, the home VoIP telecom thing, Oomla or something like that they bought?
Well, and the big fear is always that Cisco buy things in order to bury them.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of like Microsoft does.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not the case here.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good addition to their portfolio.
Should be decent. I'm not going to lie. One of my favorite stories is the guy in either Colon or Cologne, however you want to pronounce it, Michigan.
I hope it's Cologne, but who knows? I fear it's Colon.
It's Michigan. Has launched his own Amish Uber service.
So does that mean only Amish people can use it? It
means there's no app. He just rides around in a horse and buggy, and you can flag him down and catch a ride.
I see. In a horse and carriage.
So it's not really Uber. It's more taxi in Manhattan because you have to flag him down.
I got you.
Although, I mean, it's Amish. Maybe smoke signals, and carrier pigeons.
Businesses people start.
But I love the fact that the story had to point out that he is in no way, shape, or form actually affiliated with Uber.
It's like the pedal cabs in Ann Arbor that are called Boober.
They are. I heard about that.
And that are – yeah. No, I had to have that explained to me. That aren't driven by Hooters waitresses. No.
No boobs.
No.
What?
A thing. like false advertising.
No way.
And then MoviePass. We've loved talking about them ever since they first launched just because, the business model never made sense to us at all. And apparently it no longer makes sense to anyone, including their investors. So now they have dropped people down to three movies per month?
I think it's zero.
Well, it was last week for a few days because
they were completely cut off.
They were out of money and they couldn't back the movie tickets.
$5 million loan.
Yeah, they couldn't get the theaters on board with that.
So. Well, and it's one of those things that like I never understood. Like, so your business model is, all right, we're going to let you go to as many movies as you want to go to, and we'll pay for the tickets in the hope that the movie theaters, contrary to everything that America stands for, will just be so grateful for the business that's coming in that they'll cut you a check.
Right.
Instead of just pocketing the additional money.
Right. Didn't happen.
But they are removing the restrictions on new releases. So you can see those again. And they are no longer doing surge prices on those top movies. So it used to be that they charged 50% premium if you wanted to see a movie that just came out in the first 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
But didn't they up their subscription from 9 to...
They had proposed that, but...
I think they with this move, they're eliminating that.
Gotcha.
And I guess if you want to buy, what is it, 50% off any tickets past the 3 free?
Something like that, yeah. $2 to $5 discount per ticket if you buy more, yeah.
They'll be gone in 6 months.
Probably.
There's an Alf. You remember Alf?
Yeah.
Like throw a cat on the barbecue?
They're rebooting Elf.
Like the show.
Yeah.
The TV show, yeah.
Why I have no idea.
With the same cast.
It's got quite a
large I would love.
Cult following.
No, it does, but it's like I don't understand why it needs to be rebooted. Like just let it live in the glory of the 80s that it was.
Huh. Well, it was a 90s cartoon too.
Yeah, that didn't go anywhere. No, it's the TV show.
I'm surprised the TV show even made it, but it was kind of funny though.
I made it 4 seasons in a movie, so I mean that's not terrible. But
And speaking of 80s TV, I'd be remiss if Charlotte Ray died today. The rumors of Michael J. Fox's demise are completely untrue. But Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett
from
Facts of Life, and then
Different Strokes,
then Facts of Life. Yes, did indeed die today at 92.
She was on The King of Queens as well in one episode. Just throwing that out there.
Where do we want to go? Kroger is apparently taking on Visa, which I don't understand how this is going to work out for them. Kroger's pondering banning Visa transactions.
Why?
Because they don't like the rate they're getting charged.
You know, the rate they signed up for and said was
sure,
okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
What do you mean? So they're not going to take Visa anymore?
Yeah.
So nobody shop there anymore?
Well, right. Or they'll just use their debit cards.
Or MasterCards. Like,
I don't know how people shop.
Visa debit or Visa credit?
No, this is credit. Oh. So I don't know like how many people shop using their credit card. I guess that's not something I get.
Maybe probably not enough for them to put up
but
the
I guess
sink, you know.
Since Kroger's the nation's largest grocery chain, I guess they feel they have the clout to throw around. Yeah. Because they don't own just Kroger's. They own Fry's. They own King Soopers, Baker's, Dillon's, Fred Meyer, a whole bunch of other brands as well.
They're pretty big.
Ralph's.
Oh.
Yeah, that's probably a negotiating tactic. Yeah.
It's a thing. From the, both Facebook and podcasting world, Alex Jones had a bad week, and I'm okay with that.
It's a bad day.
Yeah. Well, he had a bad week. So there was a class action suit that's being heard currently by several of the – it was filed by an attorney for several of the family members of the Sandy Hook victims that, you know, he was basically enabling them to be doxxed. He was enabling them, you know, to have their names, addresses, and everything else posted out on his podcast and on his website and his Facebook page. So that's going on. And then as an offshoot to that, iTunes shut him down.
As did SoundCloud and everybody else.
Yeah, Facebook pulled him. Spotify pulled him.
YouTube pulled him too.
Yeah, so it was YouTube first. They started shutting him down, and then Facebook initially said, we're not doing anything. It's free speech. Then they went, all right, fine. 30-day ban.
But then they said it's against the hate policies, right?
Yeah, the whole hate speech. Which is why everybody was like, well, what do you mean Facebook? It doesn't do anything. That's – like just the whole doxing people I've never understood in general.
So basically, didn't that start with him suggesting that Sandy Hook never happened?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, and that's the whole thing. And he's like, you know, he's calling the parents liars. He's got, and
so his listeners are going to these victims' families and, you know, harassing them at their house.
Oh, yeah, one of whom is now in jail because she kept showing up at one of the parents' houses with like weaponry.
What an idiot.
Don't people work? Don't people have anything better to do?
I'd like to say yes, but apparently in many cases, apparently no. Not, right? No, that is not the case, actually.
Shall we stick with Facebook?
Go.
Facebook uncovered new meddling before the 2018 elections.
I did see that.
They have removed 32 pages and accounts from Facebook and Instagram as an effort to combat foreign meddling in the U.S. The U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee, I believe, they aren't saying it's Russia, but it's Russia.
But it's Russia.
Yeah.
Well, and laughably, according to Alex Jones today, that's all part of a massive liberal conspiracy to keep Republicans down. That's, yeah. Nothing to do with the fact that they're fake. Nothing. Yeah. No, that, yeah.
Nothing to do with the fact that we just indicted 13 Russian nationals.
About, you know.
No, but ago. And speaking of Facebook, and I'm actually happy with this one. The new API has rolled out, and they're breaking the link between Twitter and Facebook, and I'm okay with that because one of the things that annoys me more than anything else is when somebody posts the exact same thing on every social media platform at the exact same time.
I did this.
Of course you did.
Twitter's my primary method of communication, but I want to share with my Facebook friends too, so I just said anything that was posted to Twitter, go to Facebook too. I disabled it for retweets usually.
Right.
But, you know, things that I posted directly would go to multiple places. But, yeah, I'm going to have to work on that now.
That'll be a thing.
Cultivate unique audiences on each platform, I guess.
And then a federal – and I'm curious to see how this plays out because the court case is still being – or the appeals are still being heard. But a federal judge blocked a company from releasing – the blueprints for guns for 3D printing.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how this plays out. I mean, let's be real. They're already out there.
Yeah, he already published them.
I mean, if you want them, you can find them. Yeah. It's just, you know, the major directories and that kind of stuff that are holding back. But if you want them, they're there. And it's a weird world. I mean, you know, it's okay. So you've got the Second Amendment that says the right to keep and bear arms.
You just can't put them on your HP.
Well, and, you know, so now – and the issue now is that, okay, well, now you have the capacity or the capabilities to essentially make your own.
Make your own gun.
You know, and they're completely unregistered. They're completely untraceable. They're completely
The district judge in Seattle said, quote, the blueprints publication could cause irreparable harm to U.S. citizens, which is not wrong, but.
I don't think you should be able to print your own gun. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, I keep going. God, what the hell was that movie? The Clint Eastwood Secret Service movie.
Yeah.
God, was it in the Line of Fire, something yeah, like that, where the guy had like the wooden
gun. It was
gun.
John Malkovich.
Yeah. And, you know, the couple of springs. Because apparently, according to movies, all you need is like a block of wood and a couple springs.
Some balsa wood.
Yeah. And you can go ahead and make your own gun anyway. Okay. So, yeah, it's a thing. The new drones in China are kind of tweaking me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
It's uncanny. It's creepy. They're shaped like birds.
And look like birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're spying on Chinese citizens.
I didn't see this.
And can't – yeah, I mean like you just see like a bird whipping around. But it's not
– They actually flap their wings.
Uh-huh.
I think I saw one of those in my backyard.
It has a high-definition camera, a GPS antenna, and a flight control system, and a data link with satellite communication capability. That's
it's Big Brother right there.
Yeah. I mean, China's always been very restrictive, but this seems like a over the top.
Well, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, because, I mean, let's be real. For all we know, they're floating around here already and meh. Yeah. I keep going back to They Live. There's just drones everywhere. We just don't know. We don't care. See them.
It's that hummingbird that keeps coming up to the window. Trying to look in the house.
But this information will be used along with the facial recognition, AI, and smart glasses technology to you know, give all the Chinese citizens their personal social media score and based on how they behave and what they do online and
which
in
we've
real
talked
life.
About before. Yeah.
So it's Orville's Reddit planet.
Gotta love
in real life
totalitarianism.
It's creepy beyond belief. All right, well, hey, we're at 9:30. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back with Richard Van Staten. We'll talk about all the cool shit that he's got going on, and the variety of companies that he has rolling. And I guess we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. So, oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland, Secret Life of the American Teenager, and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And, oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
All right, so hey, welcome back to episode 259 of the IT and the D show.
We are slightly less rigged than a McDonald's Monopoly game.
We are. We'll have that story in the recap and probably out on Twitter. Who knows? But so for this segment, we are joined by Richard Van Staten, who not only hosts a show here on the network called Evolve, but also owns Quantum as well as a few other things. So Richard, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And so I guess let's start with the basics. What do you do?
How do I even know that yet? Still trying to figure out. I save the government and private companies from themselves.
Really? Because well, then it doesn't seem like you're doing a great job then.
I'm trying. I promise. We are a business and consulting firm for the government primarily.
Okay. Like any particular specialty or?
It's a little bit of everything: infrastructure, operations, applications, custom work, networking. You name it.
All right. So I guess give me an example of stuff that you guys got going on.
We're rebuilding corrections department systems, Michigan State Police systems, infrastructure and operation systems, unemployment insurance systems. You name
cool.
It, you name it. Every state has about, give or take, 18 to 20 agencies, and we pretty much help them all.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, so and I guess – well, so one of the things that, you know, I know I see on Facebook all the time and I see, you know, pretty much across the board is everybody hates those systems.
Yeah.
Whether it's sorry the people that are working with them or, you know, the
I'm
public.
I'm rebuilding them.
Or the public that's using them, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I guess like how does that process work? Like, I mean, is there a long requirements gathering session? Is there – you know, a lot of feedback. Like how does that kind of – before it rolls out to the world, how does that happen?
Yeah, well, generally, you know, the most governments do their best to try to take a good series of requirements in advance, right? But not all so successfully, right? Then they put it on the RFP.
Well, and everything changes day by day.
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah. Yeah, it's very fluid, right? So then they'll put in a request for proposal or an RFI to try to find the most compatible vendor, so on and so forth. They'll go through a joint executive committee, select your vendor, select your software, select your hardware, whatever it's going to be, and then go through the implementation, which you know previously would take years to do. Those cycles are shortened now that you're in cloud. The cloud employee would have our methodologies, go through the system development lifecycle, go to maintenance and support, and there you go. That's it.
Cool.
I mean, there's a thousands of variables in there.
But, yeah.
But, you know, for all intents and purposes, that's how it goes about.
So I guess what – I guess just because I know people love hearing stuff like this. Like I guess what's been the oddest thing that you've encountered or weirdest situation you've had to run with?
In my private life or the
– Well, I mean
– In my private life or my business life? The oddest situation. I mean,
here's a good case in point. So I remember like I was on a consulting gig once and systems were just spontaneously rebooting and nobody could figure out why. So I wrote a little script and basically every time a certain system rebooted, and this was back in the day when pagers were a thing, it would send a note to my pager. And so I was – and this was when I was in Dallas. And so I'm in a bathroom in Dallas and a toilet flushes behind me. And my pager goes off.
Mm.
And I was like, well, Okay, didn't, went and looked at things, couldn't find anything wrong, whatever. And then, a day later, I was back in the bathroom, and a toilet flushes behind me, and my pager goes off. And my pager's gone off at intervals between then, and couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. And so, like, the next day, so third day in, toilet flushes, pager goes off, and I just stand there for a minute, and I wait. Guy leaves the bathroom, and I walk over, and I flush the toilet. Pager goes off. Walk to the next stall, flush the toilet. Pager goes off. Turned out that there was some stupid system set up where the power supply was literally sitting between two waste pipes. And for whatever reason, when one of them would fill up and then empty, it would trigger something in the power supply that would cause a reboot. And that's literally what it was. Like just something with like a charge or static or something stupid, because once they moved that, everything was fine and dandy.
I'm sure I've probably dealt with hundreds of those over the years. I'll stick with your toilet story and go into the HR department.
Okay.
Here's a lesson learned about 15 years ago. Don't try to convince people to do things they don't want to do. So I hired this guy from another large company, convinced him, negotiated, if you will. And he came over, and about 2 weeks later, I found him in the bathroom, probably near your pager, naked, lying in the corner, crying. And I went up to him. Let's call him Rob. His name was not really Rob. But I said, Rob, are you okay? And obviously the answer is
no.
No, I'm not doing too well. I mean, we were actually in the office, and I mean, he's laying naked, and I'm thinking.
I'm proud to say I've never been naked in a corporate bathroom. Happen.
Well, we shouldn't be. Well, I can't say I haven't, but not for nefarious purposes, right. Though.
I mean, my office maybe, but never a bathroom.
Certainly not a bathroom. He might have been in the stall next to you. I don't know.
Try.
It turns out that he never really wanted to work for us. I was just a good negotiator, and he had some kind of breakdown. And they took him away in the ambulance, never saw him again. It sounds like a sad story, but you asked about something different. So.
That's certainly an odd one.
Yeah, that was an odd one.
So, and you mentioned that quantum is just one of the things that you have going on. So, I mean, like what else is in your sphere of influence? Yeah.
Well, in terms of companies, I have Ann Staten and Associates as well, where we represent other large companies that don't know what they're doing. You'd be shocked at the brand names if I could name them.
No, probably not.
But I can't. Very, very large companies, and we represent them essentially in order to assist them in getting their software and services if they're applicable where they need them to be.
So is it kind of like I guess I'm trying to think of it. Like, I mean, like, are you like a reseller / VAR?
We're not a VAR. I actually stay out of the VAR business entirely. These are big companies that have difficulties getting penetration in either a government or private sector market, or don't have the strategies, the know-how, the marketing, the people, they just don't know what they're doing, believe it or not. And, so they'll hire us to basically help them create that strategy, create that marketing plan, create that series of introductions, and that becomes real.
Okay.
And we'll go with them and, pitch their products with them as long as we believe in it. You know, we have to believe in what they're doing. And
what a novel concept.
Yeah. Well,
most people, as long as the check clears, meh.
Yeah. No, we don't do that, because at the end of the day, our lifespan would be short, right? We'd sell for a year and then they'd drop us or whatever. So we're selective about what products we represent, what services we represent. Cypher Riot is about cryptography for the Internet of Things, specifically.
It's which, Cypher God Riot. Knows, is needed.
CYPHEROT. And then Sugar Skull Software is about custom software built on AWS and Azure environments, okay, primarily. So those are the business ones. And then I'm ADD, basically, self-imposed, as I say. And, I write books and articles and basically think up new businesses like every 2 seconds, which my wife shuts me down on. She tells me to quit it.
So, sounds familiar. I mean, it's like us. We've got a lot of irons. We get the podcast network. We've got the brewery. We've got pro wrestling. We've got
I'm the most unfocused person on the planet.
So I guess where do we find out more about the stuff you have going on?
Easiest way to get to it is just to go to my name, richardvanstaten.com. That's like Staten Island. And my companies are there. And what I do is there. I do speaking engagements, so on and so forth. And
on what?
A little bit of everything. I don't like to call it motivational speaking because it's so oversold. I'm not really into all that. I'm into reality speaking. I'll tell you how it is. It's the way I operate in projects and programs and businesses. So I'm not going to tell you all kinds of fun stuff about how life's going to be. It takes hard work. All right. It takes dedication, perseverance, and can't be lazy. So
it's amazing how many people don't understand that.
Well, you know, I think there's too much motivational speaking going on and everybody wants to be famous. So I'm not really in it for that. I like to tell people how it is for real. And if they want to buy into it, they can buy into it. If they don't want to buy into it, fine. I don't care.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that, you know, we found, like, you know, people have asked, like, you know, hey, you guys have this great networking group thing going. How do we start a networking group? Hey, you've got this podcast thing going. How do we start that? We've literally published step by step everything we've done online. And it's sort of like the, like Henry Ford, you know, with the whole lean manufacturing thing. Here's exactly how I do it because I know you're not gonna.
Yeah.
Like everybody wants to be successful.
Yeah.
Very few want to actually do the work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously it takes, you can have a vision and a plan until you move that tennis ball, meaning if you were to have it hanging over your bed, as I say, until you could think it all day, until you get up and smack it around a little bit, you're not going anywhere. So, a lot of people just want the outcomes. They don't want to do the work.
Right.
Right. So, but what they don't understand is that, I think this is actually a quote from Tony Robbins, who's a great motivational speaker, albeit that's not what I do. Basically, what you're seeing is years and years of work in the making.
Mm-hmm.
Is something that he said, but it's accurate.
The iceberg motif. You know, you see the little part that's above water. You don't see the giant behemoth underneath the water.
Yeah, right. So building your life for these companies or whatever it may be obviously has been years in the making for me and those involved in it. And, you know, we'll never be done. but it takes quite a bit to do it. So I do reality speaking, or I don't do motivational stuff. We see a lot of motivational speakers out there that just kind of say the same stuff, you know, stick to it and don't give up and blah 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 and don't, you know, whatever. I don't know how much that's helping people. I don't.
No, and it kills me when you see, you know, the speakers or the book writers or whoever that haven't actually done anything.
Yeah, well,
but they're out talking about it. You hey, know, how to build a multi-million dollar company and
that I've never done. Never, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We see I have been subject to that myself, meaning watch a lot of motivational speakers
talk about these things.
And then, you know, you kind of want to smack them and say, have you ever actually done any of this? And they haven't. But, you know, so I'm not sure they understand what it really takes. But, anyway, that's what I do.
Cool.
Personally. And then what do I do? What else do I do? I watch too much TLC, apparently. But that's a quiet secret.
The 90s band or the Learning Channel?
Oh, wait, it could be both.
I was going to say, I don't think there's been any learning on that channel in a few years now.
I don't think it's been any learning. It's just – that's what it was called, wasn't it?
It used to be called the Learning Channel, but switched to the reality competitions and – you know, like Trading Spaces.
Oh, the only thing I'm learning not to do is marry somebody from another country. So, on 90 Day Fiancé.
Anything you guys think we should hit?
Yeah, we also have Kirk Jenkins. He's an architect and the vice president at Quantum as well. Brittany.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I don't know. We've talked about a bunch of stuff over the last few weeks. But, I've been working with Rich on some different things in the past. And we've done a lot of projects together and had a lot of experience. So we lost touch with each other for a few years, and then we got back and we started doing our own podcast with the Evolve show. We're moving some stuff there and having some fun.
He's as much of a knucklehead as I am. So If people, so this isn't filmed. So to look at us, you don't look at us. We're not your typical CEO types.
No, and I'll be like, so I remember the first time I saw you in the studio, you know, I'm like, okay, so who's this tall, muscle bound dude in a cowboy hat,
right,
all tatted up? And right. Jess was like, oh, yeah, no, he owns an IT company. I'm like, wait, what?
pretty large one at that.
I know, yeah. No, I'm familiar with
Quantum, I think we like to go against the grain. I think that's part of the problem is everybody's following the same suit.
Yep.
And I call them weathermen, meaning a lot of the people we see in our industry, they all look the same and talk the same. And the problem with that is just last example before you go on to them, if somebody called me, I mentioned this to you guys about 4 or 5 months ago, and they said, why don't you just tell us how you really feel? And I told her, and I said, that's the problem, is that you're all telling your clients what they want to hear, not what they need.
Mm-hmm.
But not what they need to hear. All right, and that's the difficult part. You want to be a good consultant, tell them what they need to hear. If they let you go, so be it. All right, but at least you have some integrity about it. No, I don't look the same as most CEOs. Admittedly, I don't want to, actually.
That's so good.
I'll be genuine about it and stick to my personality. And I think Kirk is kind of doing the same.
I just don't have as many tattoos.
I've seen your ass before. When you mooned me last week, I'd argue otherwise.
I don't remember that.
Exactly.
Those are usually the best meetings.
I'm just goofing. And how about you, Brittany?
Oh, I just want to take the time to encourage everybody to tune into the Evolve podcast show with Richard Van Zandt.
A little plug there.
Yeah, well, you know, you're my boss, so.
my tattooed ass. Listen, I said, make sure we get some plugs in there. Now, so, you know, we're engaged in a lot of, why you guys laughing? What's the fucking problem? Yeah, we do a lot of serious stuff during the day. We're, you know, suit and tie, 3-piece suits and all that kind of stuff. That's what we got to do. People told me to shave my beard, but I told them to stick it. So
No, I'm not a tie guy either. I understand. It's like, you know, we've always said, you know, our networking group, you know, if you're looking for a room full of guys in 3-piece suits with ties, you're not going to be happy at our events. I mean, our tagline is Networking Detroit, one beer at a time. Always has been, always will be.
One beer at a time. That's it.
That's how we do.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so it is Van Staten or Van Staten?
Well, it's Van Staten, but the majority of the people call it Van Staten, so that's fine. Yeah, go to richardvanstaten.com.
Awesome. And everything you need to know is there. We'll have in the show recap notes and everything else.
For sure.
All right, so are we good? Anything we missed Monopoly? That we should touch on?
Monopoly, maybe?
I'm dying to hear about this.
I love this story.
So I think I may have closed that window. Let me make sure. I absolutely did. But no, we still talk. So there was this great story that came out about how an ex-cop became the chief of security for the firm that managed and maintained all the Monopoly pieces. And so he came up with a little scheme where he could, you know, because they were all like, you know, shrink-wrapped and sealed and all that stuff. And he figured out a way to basically break the shrink wrap, break the seal, replace everything, and pocket the winning pieces, which he then handed out to friends. And one of his friends was involved in the mafia in Jersey.
Is that what the mafia is into now?
Yeah, exactly.
Monopoly pieces and French fries. Give me those pieces.
And we'll make you an offer you can't. Yeah. but no, so, and that, like, that was the weirdness of it, was that, like, what ultimately brought him down is that he was dumb. And he was giving – and so the FBI figured out that, like, all these winners were basically within a 15-mile radius of this one town.
Come on.
And he even started telling people, hey, don't claim the prize here. Like, go. Like, I'll teach you how to set up a fake ID and a fake address and all this stuff. But, you're still within that 15-mile radius, mm-hmm. and that's what took him out.
There's a lot of McDonald's. That's a problem. You got to go out of state. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just that is unbelievable.
You're doing your mafia impression.
Tony, we need some more pieces here.
I will bring to you a Park Place. And on that day.
It's unfortunate that's been what they've been reduced to. They used to be an industry. Now that I think we ought to go after Monopoly pieces.
Yeah, never saw that on an episode of The Sopranos.
Not on Goodfellas.
Yeah, there were no Monopoly pieces in The Godfather.
There's no cocaine in this anymore.
Yeah. And it was funny because the guy thought his ace in the hole would be that he had proof that basically they were keeping people in Canada from winning. Like as from a corporate perspective, they were keeping the winning pieces from going to Canada, and he had emails and proof of that, and he thought that would be his get out of jail free card.
Those poor Canadians can never win.
Oh, no, actually, they get enough free stuff as it is. So.
Yeah, they're fine. They're fine.
No, their taxes are high enough. I think they pay for it in a roundabout way.
Go after those Canadians.
They got to muscle in on their health care.
Interesting story.
All right. Well, hey, so it is Richard Van Staten or VanStaten.com. Take your pick. We'll have in the recap in the show notes. I think that brings us to the end. We've got.
Before we wrap, though, we should probably wish a happy birthday to Jeremiah, Dr. Hook.
We should. It is. Jeremiah of Daily Detroit, a.k.a. Dr. Hook, which someday get us drunk. We'll tell you that story. It is his birthday. He is out having fun, I hope. Hooray.
I think that's another episode in the bag.
It is. I feel like I'll do the Bob. You know, you drink up your drinks, get your phone numbers. It's not the same when I do it.
It's not
you
at all.
Don't have to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Drive careful.
Beat it.
Beat it.
Appreciate the invite.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the trees.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, Buick put their cars next to, the Bentleys? Why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet?
No!
Yeah, so now I'm just doing stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show down.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.